there will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, boogity, boogity, boogity. Here we go. Hour number two of Midday Mobile on this Friday. And we're live in Robertsdale at Parrish Tractor. And hopefully you get a chance to stop by and say hello to us. We're going to be here through 2 o'clock, but the deals continue throughout the day. And in just a second, also joining us, Representative Matt Simpson. We're talking about discounts going on at Parrish Tractor today. He's talking about a bill that maybe would discount your purchases on a gun safe or gun safety equipment. That's coming up in just a little bit. But, yeah, we continue to have a good time here at Parrish Tractor. Blaine Price, store manager, he joined us last hour. He's back. You returned.
I have.
I saw you. You saw you visiting with folks. Burgers.
Absolutely. Burgers, sausage dogs. You know, it's good. They got the grill fired up out there.
Yeah. So. Listen, the second I pulled up here on the other side of the building, when I first got here, I could smell that. That was calling me as much as the equipment that's sitting in the yard here at Parrish Tractor. And Hook Madden joins us now. Service manager, good to meet you.
Yeah, nice to meet you.
You know, I walked in here, speaking of service, that's what I told Blaine earlier. I said I got here and got set up so I could run back and, you know, to parts and get a part. And then I started looking in the service bays. Y'all are busy already.
Oh, yes, sir. Yeah, we're pretty busy right now. We're wide open.
Why might people be coming right now?
Oh, man, you know, you're cutting grass. You're out there, belts are slinging off. You know, so we're here to help you out every day.
And right now, y'all got what, it's 10% off today?
Yes, sir. Yeah, you drop off your mower today, your tractor for a service or anything, you're getting 10% off the labor.
And that's great. And then if we're going to try to fix something ourselves, parts, I took advantage of that. I got, you know, I went ahead to buy some things I broke on the front end loader.
Yes, sir. Yeah, so parts, they're also doing 10% off today.
That is great stuff. And the nice thing is, too, is having the... So I showed up... Okay, this is a good example. So I showed up with a picture of what I messed up. That was not a parts number. You know, I got... You know, I know what my loader is and what kind of... But just a picture. And your crew back there could search through the schematics and, you know, and show me, oh, it's a this. Because a lot of times you don't have the part with you. People can stop by. And I actually was pretty impressed how quickly they found what I needed.
Oh, yes, sir. Yeah, them guys back there in the back, they're pretty good.
Yeah, they're pretty good. Yeah, because I don't think I'm the only one that ever comes in and goes, I don't know, it's the thing that connects the thing to the other thing.
Man, we do it. We do it over the phone, too. I've noticed a couple of our parts guys back there, they'll get on these iPhones, FaceTime.
Yeah, FaceTime
and
show
the customer. They'll FaceTime him over the phone. He's on the other line just telling him what he needs, and they can't figure it out, so they'll start FaceTiming each other, and they'll figure it out.
Yeah, so if you got, you know, the thing that goes next to the other thing, the folks at Parrish Tractor That's can right. help you get the part and get that service work done. So, yeah, 10% off, and like you said, even if they drop it off today.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, they drop it off today, then they're going to get that 10% off on
yes,
service.
Sir. Yep. Right. Yeah, the labor 10% off today.
All right, good stuff. Let's also talk about, Blaine, we had talked about these deals going on here on the discounts for the rental equipment and the new equipment. Kind of run back through that to people that didn't hear you last hour.
We got our full rental department as well. We got tractors, skid steers, excavators. We got some Toro equipment, some concrete equipment, or little mini skid steers, Toro dingoes.
And these
trenchers.
Are the ones. Okay, yeah, these are the ones that I see them where you stand up
on them.
Like, so, what kind of project would you use that size on?
Well,
like a backyard thing?
Backyard,
or?
Getting into really tight areas.
Right.
Whether you're having to haul dirt or whatever, they come with little grapples on them and all that. So, but yeah, on all of that rental today is 10% off daily rental. So, you know, if you need something for the weekend, call us. Let's get you that discount. And like I said earlier, if you don't have the truck to haul it, We got a truck that will.
So somebody's got that project at their house or at the farm, and they need a skid steer.
Absolutely, we'll deliver it if we have to. If you can't haul it behind your right. vehicle, we will. So
that is that's good. I mean, because there's pieces of equipment. I'll be frank with you, especially sitting here with y'all. If I had the, I'd like to have ball. I'd like to have one of everything.
Absolutely.
You know,
that's
but
right.
that just doesn't work into the system. So you know, most of us will get a tractor and the implements to go with that. But if we got to get a skid steer or trencher or something like that, that's a kind of a one-off for a lot of us.
That's right. So, I mean, if you're, you know, need to run a water line,
yeah.
you don't want to dig it with a shovel.
No.
Come get that thing.
If you've done that before, everybody raise their hands. I've done that before. You want to trench it. You want to let the machine do it.
It does it quick, too.
What do people need to know also about, like, do they need to call ahead? If I know, like, next week I'm going to need this thing, can I get in line for a
call? You can call and make a reservation on it. We do that all the time. That people call in, they want to make sure that they got a specific job or they taking off work a specific day for that. Call ahead, we'll put you on the books, and it's yours that day.
Good stuff.
So, well, or that week or month, you know, whatever. You know,
right.
it's not just.
But
David
people
Reynolds.
Like to plan ahead because if you got a bunch of guys coming to work on a project with you, you
Absolutely.
Want to know you have the machine.
And if it comes up to being that day, it's pouring down rain, and you don't need it, just call us and let us know. It's no charge to you for canceling that reservation. So,
good. Well, no, that's good to know. Now let's talk about how they get in touch with y'all here at Parrish Tractor. I mean, whether phone call or online, or what's the best?
Call the store number right here in Robertsdale, 251-947-4171.
Okay, and if they just Google Parrish Tractor,
they Google Parrish Tractor, it'll bring all that information, all of our contact information up as well.
And you know, you and I talked about this last hour, and this is just like, this is because I'm pointing at myself. If I ride by and I kind of, you know, maybe I just slip in and look at the yard and look at the equipment that's out there, if I don't see what I need, I probably would never come in and ask y'all. I would probably just kind of go, okay, well, they don't have it. But that's not how it works with y'all.
Come in and ask us. We have three other locations over in Mississippi that I can have a truck here tomorrow. If we do have it in stock at that other store, I can get it over here, you know, next day or within 2 days, get it over here.
So ask the question, because a lot of us will. I mean, if we don't see it on the yard, we're going to assume that, you know. And you said also that that problem with supply chains turned around and y'all are getting the equipment in.
We are finally getting this equipment in. The yard is starting to fill up with inventory, which is something very nice to see.
Imagine that. When you're in the equipment business and you got inventory, that's probably what makes life easier.
It's a good feeling because 2 years ago, it wasn't that way.
Well, I'm glad you got it in here now. Y'all got a whole bunch of it. What are your hours? When can they come by?
So we're open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. On Saturdays, we're open from 8 till noon. And call us. And even after hours, if you accidentally call in after hours, we have an after hours answering service that somebody will be in touch with you.
Good deal. Blaine, thank you for having us
Absolutely.
Out. Good to meet you, Hook.
Yes, sir. Nice to meet you.
All right. It is Parrish Tractor here in Robertsdale, and we'll be hanging out here. Stop by and get some FM Talk 106.5 goodies while we're here. And we had friends already stopping in. We had somebody bringing us delicious vegetables. So thank you, Patty. Thank you, Lakers. It's well received. We thank you for that. Let's say hello to. I mentioned this just a second ago that there's a bill that is now. It's actually got a number and a name and a sponsor, and that sponsor is no stranger to this show. It's District 96 Representative Matt Simpson joins us now. Hey, Matt.
Hey,
see if we got Matt on.
There?
Yeah, there we go. I got you now.
Hey. All right, good. I'm here.
Hey, it's good. You know, so I'm yesterday, and House Bill 375, and I want you to describe it to everybody, but I'll tell you, I found out about this because I'm talking to Justin Bogey yesterday with 1819 mm-hmm. News, and he had a story up the, you know, four tax incentive bills you need to know about, and we're reading through it, and I, not that the other ones weren't good, but I went, oh my gosh, Representative Simpson has a winner here. So House Bill 375, what is it? What do you tell, like? How do you explain it? Just like the regular, somebody stomps you on the elevator. What is it?
It's real simple. It takes the sales tax off of gun safes and gun safety devices.
Now, is that at a state level? Is that at a municipal county?
That is a state level. So we'll take the gun. We'll take the state taxes off of it. You know, if we're going to promote gun safety, and that's something we need to look to in this state, try to come up with ways that we can do that. Actually, a regular contributor on your show, Cameron Smith. I read an article by him that he had published on AL.com, and he mentioned these tax-free on gun safety and gun safety devices, and I looked into it. Tennessee has that. So we found that Tennessee had that already in place. Just copied and pasted the Tennessee statute and the definitions that they had there, and we added it to a list of what was already included for the tax-free item, and we just put this item on the end of it. So I'm very pleased with how simple this bill is, because it's not complicated at all. It just takes the proceeds, the state sales tax off of gun safes and gun safety devices.
Yeah, and keep it that way. Don't let not to impugn your fellow members of the House or the people in the upstairs in the Senate, but don't let them complicate this thing, because I think it reads quite well as it is.
I try. I'm a simple guy, Sean. I try to keep it at all. Just keep it through. And I think I misspoke earlier. It would take the city and the county tax off of it as well. So it would be all of it, of the taxes off the sales taxes off of these items.
You know, and if we're going to use tax policy, which we do as a state, we do as a nation, to incentivize certain behaviors. I mean, I can go back to the core here and say, but this has been, what we do at a federal level and state level. Then if somebody, and we're both big Second Amendment advocates, but that doesn't keep you from wanting people to be safe. And this is absolutely, there are many somebodies that will buy a safe that wouldn't before, or buy some kind of gun safety device that wouldn't before. And if that saves a child's life, that's huge.
Absolutely. And that's what we wanted to do. This isn't coming after taking guns. This isn't changing accessibility to guns. This is just promoting gun safety. This doesn't infringe on the Second Amendment rights at all. This is just saying, hey, if we want people to take care of their guns, let's incentivize it. Let's have a state policy to incentivize it to make sure that the guns don't end up in the wrong hands.
We look at other states out there, like whether there's 20 some odd states right now that have laws out there that are penalizing parents that have let their children access a firearm. This is not that. This is like you said, pro Second Amendment. It's just, you know what? It's common sense, and I'm glad you're moving with this.
That's generally what I try to focus on with common sense legislation. The idea came from Cameron Smith. We were able to get it up and get it on the Education Committee, the Education Trust Fund Committee. They passed it out unanimously, no problem. Was able to get it on the calendar Wednesday. It came out with no problem, not even very much discussion at all. This is a Democrat and Republican bill. It cuts taxes and it promotes gun safety. I mean, this is a win-win situation.
Let's talk about the general discussion of cutting taxes and where we are with, seven legislative days left. This bill, does it have the, first of all, let me just ask you, this bill, does it have the time? Is it one of these where everybody's for it, but it runs out of time? I've seen that once or twice out of Montgomery.
It might. It's already passed the House, so it's in the hands of the Senate. And I really don't have a lot of say-so on how things go up there. They're their own animal, and I kind of leave the Senate to be their floor to handle it that way. I've had conversations with Senator Arthur Orr about it, just kind of let him know what's out there. We're really doing a lot with the Education Trust Fund budget right now. I anticipate we've got a bill that's going to come up this week to cut out the sales tax on groceries. So, and some of the stuff that we're doing for school choice, there's concern with how far we're going on the Education Trust Fund and whether or not they want to add another additional item that's going to take money away from the Education Trust Fund. I still think it's worth it. I'm still going to push it. Even though we're doing those things, I'm going to try to do all I can to get the message out and spread the word around that I understand that this is not going to have an overwhelming impact on the budget. The fiscal note on this is around $1.2 million. They just took the numbers from Tennessee and extrapolated those and put those into what they expect from Alabama. So, you're really only talking a little over $1 million to our budget on something like this. I think that's worth it for public policy.
Oh, absolutely. Joined by District 6, 96 Representative Matt Simpson. And like you said, it's in the Senate. So if you think this is a good idea, make sure you email or ring the phone of your senator and let them know you support it. On the grocery tax side, there's still people, and I've been on a soapbox for a decade or more about elimination of the state portion of grocery tax. And there's people come at me now and say, Sean, you're backing down. And in that, I'm happy. Of course, a perfect world, I would like to see 4% gone, as the start of the fiscal year. Okay, 4% gone, it's done. But also, I'm pragmatic enough to realize that's probably not going to get done. So you know, if it's a 0.5% per fiscal year with some kind of guardrails on it to make sure to give people some security that it's not going to mess up ETF funding, I'll take that too. Do you think, I mean, that compromise seems reasonable? But then again, I'm a big advocate for removing the grocery tax. What are you hearing from those people that may not be as big an advocate? Are they coming in from the other side and saying, okay, maybe this is something we can agree to because it doesn't go 4% at one time?
I think we've worked with a ton of people to try to get on there. Sean, every year that there's been a grocery reduction tax, every year since I've been a member of the House, I've co-sponsored the bill to reduce the to eliminate the grocery tax. You know, this one's different now. This one's got a lot of momentum behind it. I want to say it had 101 co-sponsors in the House or 100 co-sponsors in the House, and all 35 senators co-sponsored it. So I really think like this has got some momentum. The details are they're still hammering out as far as it's a full percent the first year or 0.5% the first year. They want to make sure that the projections aren't influenced. You know, our education budget, just from the time I started 4 or 5 years ago, has gone from around $6-7 billion to around $8 billion now. So, I mean, it's increased because we've done so well. So this is an opportunity to give some of that money back to the people.
Yeah, and that's, yeah, that's, of course, I'll play the other side of this. I'm an advocate for it, but then what do you tell those folks that say, well, you're risking schools. You're risking something's going to happen. The money is not going to be there for you know, the Education Trust Fund. It'll be deficit, and we'll have cuts to teachers and education and all that. I mean, because that's what gets fired back the other way.
It does, and we're being conservative. We're, like I said, we're not just going straight 4% off. Like, you know, we're putting the guardrails up. We're making sure that as long as the budget projections are ahead of, you know, 2% increase of where they were the year before, you know, then that would help move that next guardrail up. So then we can move the next 0.5%, 0.25% of what we're looking at and try to get to it. It's going to be something that's done over time so that we're not just gutting it out through. But this is something the people of Alabama want. This is something the people of Alabama deserve. We need to take these taxes off of groceries.
Yeah, it seems like it seems like politically popular, like you talk about your
Sean,
bill here.
One other thing as well, I think it's a misnomer, and I think a lot of people are miscalculating on, okay, you take the money off of grocery taxes, and that means you completely lose this money from your groceries. I don't think that's the case. I think that just means people have more money in their pocket. I don't think they're going to go back and say, okay, well, I normally spent $100, now I'm going to spend $105 on groceries. I think that could be $5 more that goes back into their pocket that they can spend in the economy at a mom and pop store or mm-hmm. small businesses, and that money will still be taxed. This just gives people more buying power with that money.
Absolutely, and I think there's a portion of that just how it's allocated. You know, I've looked at this, and I think even though the reduction of state's portion of grocery tax. It's so perfect because all Alabamians, those that eat food, will get that benefit. But the group of people that I think we want to encourage, working poor in our state, the people that are working poor, they're not on the system, they're doing it right, trying to get them up to the next level. What does it mean to be able to not just buy groceries, but they get to have pizza night? You know what I'm saying? Or go out to the local pizza place or take them for tacos or something like that. The kids, and I mean, that's huge. That money goes right back in the economy, but they got to allocate it differently and you know, improve their kids' lifestyle and their lifestyle.
Absolutely. You've been on this for years. We've had this discussion several times. I'm glad we're seeing that people are coming around to our way of thinking on this.
You see, I like that. And once again, the House bill we started is 375. Do you know what it's going to be? What it's going to be in the Senate?
I don't know. I know it got assigned to the committee, to the Education Trust Fund Committee. So you know, it's getting towards those last few days of session. I think the Senate has a number of bills that they want to focus on right now to get their Senate bills out. Because if they don't get Senate bills out, then they can't get to House bills. You know, if they don't get them out, we can't get to the Senate bills. So we're about to hit that period of time where the House focuses on House bills, the Senate focuses on Senate bills. And then after about day 25, which will probably be about Tuesday or Wednesday of next week, then we'll start flipping. And then the House will only do Senate bills and the Senate will only do House bills. So I'm optimistic. I'm working. I'm trying to work and talk to as many people as I can and spread the word. And so happy to come on your show and talk about it. Maybe we can spread the word about how important this bill is.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just common sense, and hopefully that makes it through the cut of Montgomery. Representative Simpson, as always, I appreciate our conversations. We'll talk again soon.
You just tell me when. I'll be there.
All right. There he is, State Rep Matt Simpson. House Bill 375 that would exempt the sale of gun safes and gun safety devices from all state and local sales taxes. What would that, would you change, would you make a different buying decision? Would you buy something if you had that reduction in taxes? I think a lot of y'all look at the text line would. We'll talk about this when we come back. More, we are live at Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale. It's Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. Midday Mobile. We are live in Robertsdale at Parrish Tractor. Having a great time. And drop by and see us because the FM Talk 106.5 goodies. I've still got some more of the camo huggers and the red ones here, plus the FM Talk 106.5 pens. And I'll tell you what. Next person comes in, I'll load you. Because it's fewer things I have to carry back to the van. So I'll load you up with multiple huggers and pens. How about that? Stop by and see us at Robertsdale at Parrish Tractor. And we'll be right back. Constitutional quiz on the way. Your chance to win fabulous prizes. Coming up, news is next.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. Midday Mobile live from Parrish Tractor here in Robertsdale. And remember, 10% off on service, 10% off on parts, 10% off on rentals right now. And they're making those deals on new tractors as well. Great packages. So come out and see them at Parrish Tractor here in Robertsdale. And if they don't have the piece of equipment on the lot right now, they got three other locations they can probably find that implement or that tractor you're looking for with a quickness. That's for sure. I've already picked up parts while I was here. Let me do this, too, as we get rolling into this segment of the show. It's time for the constitutional quiz, or just seconds away. That means the band is tight and on time on this Friday. They're sounding good. Give those guys a bonus. Do this. 343-0106. 343-0106. Hop on the line. It's the constitutional quiz brought to you by our buddy Larry Skoda at L&S Heating and Air. Here's how it works. If you answer the question correctly, you will win a fabulous prize package made up of FM Talk 106.5 logoed. What is the term? It's swag. You get the swag. And if you fail to get it correct, then you might lose your citizenship. But we're not going to be negative here on a Friday. You win the prizes, okay, today. And then you're in the running for the monthly prize, $100 to you, cash money. If you take the first step and win today and be a weekly winner, then you get in the drawing for the monthly win. And that $100, all brought to you by L&S Heating and Air. And your job now, hop on the line at 343-0106, 343-0106. I'll give a second to get the line stacked up here. And I do want to read just a couple texts here. Some people asking on that House Bill 375 from Matt Simpson. Can you make it on guns too? No, I don't think they're going to make it on the guns. And you have federal taxes in the mix there. It's not going to happen. Would your friendly neighborhood Democrat? Is it just me, or would instituting a lottery to benefit the ETF and eliminating the grocery tax a no-brainer? It's such a no-brainer that it will not get done in Montgomery. I agree with you, but it's just not going to. We'll do a whole nother show on why the lottery thing is going to be an issue. And David says, here's how you pass gambling and the sales tax cut on groceries. Link the two together, replace the lost revenue from the ETF from the sales tax cut from education's portion of gambling revenue. That's all great if they could get gambling passed. But that's, I mean, they're not even working a bill right now in Montgomery on gaming. Let alone the fact that even when they did have a bill, look what happened. All right. So let's do this. Time for the constitutional quiz. And Gary is our first contestant. Gary, you feeling good about it today?
I don't know, Sean. I don't know. But go ahead, man.
Okay. So, Gary, fabulous prizes. Fabulous prize pack from FM Talk 106.5 up for grabs. And, of course, the possibility of winning $100 this month from L&S Heating and Air. So your question, Gary, and it's, you know, this is not a lot of times I have multiple choice. This is a one and done. So I don't feel the pressure too much, but feel the pressure. The number of amendments in the Bill of Rights. The number of amendments in the Bill of Rights. I'll tell you what, I will make it multiple choice. Are there 5... 10 or 15? The number of amendments in the Bill of Rights.
I'm going to say 10.
And the judges say, you're correct. You see, I mean, it's just that easy. Well done. We're going to put you on hold. You'll get the information so you can come on by and pick up your fantastic prize pack of logoed gear from FM Talk 106.5. And, of course, now you're in the running for the month of May and the $100 drawing at the end of the month. Good job. Thanks for participating. Appreciate it. Why is it that the band is like tighter when I'm not even in location? Like the band responds better. I think Dalton has her attention better than me. So well done, Dalton. The band is a lot faster on the uptake. So I appreciate that. Hey, we'll do it all again next week. Another constitutional quiz here at FM Talk 106.5. And you know what? If you have, and I've said this before, and I've gotten some suggestions over time, but if you've got like a, I mean, it can't be so devious that nobody can get it. But if you got like a cool constitutional trivia question, right? Something you know, and then email it to me. Sean, S-E-A-N, at fmtalk1065.com. Sean at fmtalk1065.com. And we'll work it in the weeks and months to come of the constitutional quiz. All right, back to some of the other conversations from the text line. Let's see here. Meg says, big fan of Tim Scott, but not for president at this time. He would be a great VP. He would bring positivity and also has a good relationships in Congress. So what do you, who do you pair? Is it a DeSantis Scott? I mean, you know, that's how you get your VP, right? You have some, you're making deals. So you gotta, if you want to be a VP, the way you work this is you're a contender in the primary and then you cut the deal. You cut the deal for a cabinet position, you cut the deal for VP or whatever. You get a situation where, hey, if you could, you know, whoever the leader is in that needs your votes, if you could swing those to that person, then they'll cut you in the best deal there. So would it be a DeSantis Scott? I don't, because, I mean, I think the danger is a Tim Scott in the mix is a danger for DeSantis way more than it is for Trump. I think Tim Scott takes more votes away from DeSantis than he does Trump. Now, of course, the other part of it we've talked about here, if Trump doesn't get the nomination, which at this point I think he gets the nomination, but if Trump doesn't get the nomination, I think those people, that, and I agree with them, a lot of people out there have said they believe that Trump will run independent. If Trump runs independent, and you have, let's say you have a DeSantis, say Trump runs independent, and you have a DeSantis gets the Republican nomination, Trump runs independent, the Democrats win. Whether, you know, Biden's still there or not, the Democrats win. I mean, that's the thing. That is that unknown, because the idea of the party loyalty, right, where you wouldn't run independent, you wouldn't split that Republican vote, that's not going to happen with Donald Trump. Donald Trump be trumping, right? He's not going to be doing it. He's not going to take no for an answer there. So is it almost a situation where you have no choice other than voting for Trump in primaries to make sure he's the general election candidate, because if not, you default to the Democrat win on that. Why can't they pass gaming? Gosh, we don't even have time. Well, maybe we'll get down that on Monday's show. The situation in Montgomery on gambling. Let's talk about the lottery. People say, why can't you get a clean lottery bill? You know, just a lottery bill through. The power players out there that want to move casino gaming and want to move sports betting to some degree, but casino gaming more, need the buoyancy, the political buoyancy, the PFD value of the lottery to lift it up, because it's not a sure thing to get casino gaming. And you know, my issues with it is not the gaming, not the gambling portion of it. I don't like the fact that it's carved out for certain groups, right? But the problem is if you do a casino gaming bill that would open it up for more people to get involved, then you can't get the support of the legislature. Only if you carve it out for only certain groups to be able to do the casino gaming do you get the support from those members of the legislature. So that's a very short version of a probably more complicated discussion of why we can't get just a lottery bill or anything else done in session. We'll see as next year comes up, next session comes up, will there be something floated? But I knew this year there was no discussion of that going into session. And usually when there's something coming, they start talking about it. Members of the legislature and kind of the power brokers out of Montgomery start floating trial balloons on issues before you get into session proper. King of all unnamed texters says they can't pass gambling. but they gamble every day with that black mold. Yeah, he's talking about in the building there. That'll be interesting, too, to see where the votes go here towards the end of, well, it would probably be halfway through the month of June. They got seven more legislative days on the calendar. Should take them through probably the third week in June, maybe right there after Father's Day or before Father's Day weekend. And so then we'll have we'll have their answer at that point, whether they're going to move forward with the funding of a new state house. That probably that is politically unpopular. I'm not against it. Something politically popular, like the grocery tax elimination, is a question whether it gets passed. Something politically unpopular, like allocating taxpayer dollars to do a new state house or a new building. Gosh, I don't know. I think that ice cube's melting fast in the sun in Montgomery. All right, I want to say a big thank you to Blaine and everybody else here at Parrish Tractor, Kubota dealership, but a Kubota, Toro. They've got Husqvarna in here as well. Stop on by and check out the deals today. 10% off service, 10% off parts, 10% off rentals. So you got a project this weekend, you need a skid steer or a trencher or something like that for the weekend. They've got that 10% off as well. So give them a call and check them out at Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale. You come back, it'll be time for a checkup. And a reminder, too, the FM Talk 106.5 app, maybe you have some time this weekend. Maybe it's time for you to settle down for a long 90 seconds or so. And if you're an iPhone user, go to the App Store. If you're an Android user, go to Google Play and look for FM TALK 1065. See our logo there. That's our free app. Download it and stream the station there. You can leave us talkback messages. You can text from there. You can call from there. You can get traffic maps, weather updates, show schedules, podcasts, social media platforms. And, like, three other things. Because, like, you know, people always say a whole lot more. Like, three to four other things on that list. So go check out the app today. All right, coming right back. Time for a checkup on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5. And time for a checkup. Rebecca Blalack with AltaPoint, the school-based therapist for AltaPoint, joins me. Good to see you. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
So, tell me, what do you do? You're the school-based therapist for AltaPoint. So, what does a day look like for you? What do you do?
Oh, goodness. Busy day for sure.
Right.
So, pretty much just going in that school environment. I have an office at the school.
Okay.
And I have a schedule. I have, you know, a certain caseload of kids that I serve there at the school. And so I just kind of set up a schedule and, you know, have therapy sessions throughout the day. And, you know, but have the space and flexibility for if a crisis comes up,
right,
to be able to assist with that, or just kind of, you know, plot out my day for, you know, therapy sessions, but also consulting with teachers and parents that show up, just different things like that, just to kind of be an extra assistance.
So you're a resource
there
on site for that,
yes,
school.
Yes, on,
yeah,
site. It's a really good program because we're able to be there.
That's got to be a real benefit there. I mean,
yes,
to have this. And how does that versus an office setting versus being in a school? Give me an idea, like, how you benefit these children, maybe, you know, probably maybe more because they're closer to you?
Well, so, I mean, there's benefits, obviously, to an office, you know, and the school-based setting, but it's just really awesome that we are able to be in the school because, you know, in our communities, I mean, in our world in general, there are so many barriers with these families.
Right.
And like such as transportation. I know that's a very big,
yeah,
barrier in,
yeah,
our community is transportation, you know. And so we're able to be there on site and give the services, you know, and a lot of times people think, oh, well, it's in the school, so it's probably, you know, not a clinical, you know, service.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it's still a medical clinical service we're providing. We're just able to be there, you know. So, you know, a
it's
lot of families,
yeah,
it is. A lot of families wouldn't be able to get these services if, you know, we weren't on site to provide that because of transportation and different needs.
Well, let's talk about how does a school-based therapy differ from like a traditional therapy, like what we picture? What, I mean, is it the same protocol or different?
So the same protocol, but I like to think of it as, you know, it can sometimes be scary for a child to go into an office setting. You know, anytime they think, hey, I'm going to the doctor or I have an appointment, they might immediately like get anxious or think, hey, I don't want to go to this. But, you know, being in the school setting, they're comfortable there. That's their place.
Right.
They spend, you know, majority of their time there. And so in the school, you know, they get to see you more. They, you know, a lot of times they see you as like some of the school staff, but they get to see you. I feel like it, you know, helps build rapport more. They get comfortable with you. And, you know, versus like in an office, you're going to see them, you know, when they just come in for an appointment. And, you know, you may not see everything that's really going on. I mean, you can see them if they're, you know, in the hall interacting great with, you know, kids, or, you know, if they're in the office, you know, having some trouble, but you just kind of get to see more of a whole picture. And I really feel like they get more comfortable. And like I said, building that rapport sooner, and they just think, oh, I have a person, you know, here for me at the school. And so I know I can go to her when I need something.
You know, to think about this is also might have an effect where other kids that might be unsure about it now see you, you know, they know you by name. They know a friend had gone there. So, I mean, I use a word here, makes it okay.
Yeah, no, it does. I think definitely it makes it looked upon even, you know, more accepting, and just people want to reach out for the service more too, because like you said, they, you know, they know me, and it's really funny because, you know, we're still under HIPAA, we're still under, you know, confidentiality, but it's really funny because being in the schools, especially the younger ones, they're like, hey, there's my therapist, you know, like, and I'm like, okay, you know, but I mean, they're like, there's my therapist. Don't you want to go see her? And so I feel like it definitely encourages them and makes them feel more comfortable. You know, us just being in the school and feeling like they can really open up. And like I said, definitely knowing that we are a person there for them that's going to support them through whatever and just really be there for them.
Yeah. You know, what about the academic side? How does this school-based therapy improve, like, academics?
So it can definitely, you know, we can definitely help in that area. A big part of it is just being able to like work with the teachers and the school staff, you know, and the parent and that student, and really find out like what they're struggling with in school. You know, a lot of the times it's attendance, and just kind of trying to get more involved in that, you know, encouraging the parent, hey, we nearly need to just get them there and stuff. But we can also find out from the teacher, like specifically what are some of those problematic areas that we need to focus on, and kind of tie it into our treatment goals too, and work on that. And then, you know, sometimes it's a group effort. You know, if a kid's like really struggling, we can kind of brainstorm with the school staff, administration, and say, hey, like what has worked, what has not, and like how can we come together and like make it the best possible situation for this kid to succeed?
Obviously, that's a benefit of the geography of being there at that school.
Yes, for sure.
What are the like most common things that your patients are dealing with, children are facing today, mental health wise?
Okay, so, you know, there's so many different things, you know, challenges, you know, in our world today as far as kids and stuff, you know, but there's a variety of like behavioral and emotional issues. Some of the main things mental health wise that, you know, we see are children having anxiety, ADHD, disruptive behaviors, depression, anger, oppositional behaviors, divorce, a lot of family transitions, you know, a lot of having to move, you know, that kind of creates some stuff for them, as well as some social skill deficits too. You know, being adults, you know, we face challenges every day, and we struggle.
Right.
But, you know, we're a good bit older.
Yes.
So we kind of have learned how to like self-regulate, how to kind of be aware of like, hey, I have this going on, like I need to work on this.
Right.
But these babies, you know, and I mean, they're not all babies. We see teenagers too. But, you know, they don't necessarily have that world view yet, and that self-awareness to realize, hey, I have this going on, you know, and be able to kind of like work through those things. So that's why I think it's very important to like be involved and get these kids, you know, teaching them these skills at a young age so they can learn and cope with any challenges they may face. And it just helps families and the children, you know, be able to work with a therapist. And like I said, set those goals so they can start working on these things, you know, together, and start hopefully like relieving some of these symptoms of the things like anxiety and all the different things I named. Because that's our ultimate goal. We just want them to be able to function better and like be happier and not have so many symptoms for sure.
So think about this maybe from the school setting, Rebecca, that, you know, you have schoolwork and then you have homework.
Yes.
Right. And you go home and and it's parents will all say, we're like, I'm responsible, you know, to make sure they get their homework done. So we're part of their academic.
Yeah.
But what about on your side? Like if you're seeing a child and I don't know if you give them things to work on or whatever, how, do you bring the parents in or can, the family? How does that
as
work?
As far as like in the treatment and sessions?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, actually, we really encourage parent involvement because, I mean, I come from a systems background. So, I mean, I think at the end of the day, you know, this their family unit and their environment they're in play such a huge role in how they, you know, function every day and how they can handle things. And we really try to get the parents involved. They can actually come to the school for sessions.
Okay.
We can sit in and help like in IEP meetings for like any, you know, individual plans that need to be done, just kind of providing that assistance. But like I said, just getting them involved and realizing, hey, you know, it's all of us together because, you know, that kid has issues in school, but they also have like things that go on at home and others social settings. So we don't want to just address like what's going on in the school. We definitely want to, you know, pinpoint that for sure. But it's, you know, we want to work with that family and we just really want them to come in because when those kids realize, hey, my parent is taking the time out to really be involved and they see, because, you know, kids pay attention a lot more than we think. When they see that.
Especially if you whisper.
That's oh my when gosh, they really pay yes. attention. The things that they shouldn't be hearing that we say, we're like, oh gosh, they heard me.
Yes.
But, you know, when they see someone in their life that's important to them, really taking the making the effort to like participate and really start working with them because you know these parents they got to be these children's advocate you know and they need to fight for their kids and so when those kids see that I feel like it makes it an even more positive experience and so we definitely encourage the parents to be involved and come to the school for sessions or be you know involved as much as possible
right this is it great too because somebody's listening to you Rebecca right now they want to reach out to find out if this is available for their school or something how do they do that
so they can the main way to reach out is they can call our access to care line and that's kind of our home base just calling in saying hey I want some services and so that's at 251-450-2211. And I'll just say, hey, you know, I'm really thinking my kid needs some services. I want to see if this is available. And so then they'll set them up for an intake process and they will go through an intake. And then if, you know, if someone's at their school when they're in that intake and they say, hey, I go to this school, they'll say, hey, we have somebody there and give them that option.
That's how they match y'all.
Yes, but they also can reach out to the school because the schools are really good about giving us referrals to, you know, if they see that a kid's really struggling and not really being able to make some strides in those areas, they'll usually refer us or get a parent linked up to us so we could actually open them at the school for that intake as well.
Well, thank you for this eye-opener for so many families out there.
Yes, no, thank you so much.
Rebecca Blalack, school-based therapist for Alta Point Health right here on Midday Mobile's Time for a Checkup.